We call this meeting to order, the Southside County Board of Supervisors for October 21st, 2014. Please rise for a salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we will begin today's meeting with a presentation as October 2014 is Head Start Awareness Month, Southside County.
Good evening. I'm Janet Orvis Cook, and I am the Executive Director of the Child and Family Services Division at the Southside County Office of Ed. And I've been taught very well by my boss, Tom Chignon. Always watch the score, so it's 3-0, Giants, okay?
Oh, all right.
So just want to keep you updated as to where we are. But, you know, I appreciate so much this opportunity to be able to share with you about our Head Start programs in Stanislaus County in October, which is Head Start Awareness Month. Our County Office of Ed has been serving Head Start children since 1965, which was the beginning of Head Start. We had a program that was a summer session, and now we're serving 1,791 children ages 3 to 5 in centers and home-based cities in all of the different cities, such as Ceres and Keys, Modesto, Riverbank, Oakdale, all over the county. We're also serving 322 expectant parents and children 0 to 3 in our early Head Start program. And again, that is all over the county. Another program that we have, we serve 3,031 children in 7 counties for our Migrant Head Start program. And the Migrant Head Start program specifically addresses the needs of farm workers' children. So with the long hours, parents working in the fields, in our agriculture, we provide services for that. One of the things that I want to share with you, hoping that you'll share my pride in what goes on here in Stanislaus County, is that our Migrant Head Start program is a center of excellence. It was the only one of a migrant program in the nation and the only program in the state of California that got such an award. So we're very, very proud of that, as well as with our agricultural roots. And I come from a ranching family myself, so I really understand the needs for our workers to feel comfortable that their kids are being well cared for so that they can be doing the work of that's so important to us. So we serve over 5,144 Head Start kids in all of our programs, but over 2,000 here in Stanislaus County. We have 165 employees, and we generate a total of $57 million here in the county. But I want to just tell you a little bit about what the purpose of our program is, because again, we're going to be celebrating 50 years of Head Start, and today's Head Start program is to get ready, children ready for school. That's what our main purpose is, and get their families ready to support their child's learning and get schools ready for children. We do that from a very comprehensive point of view, from health, social services, engaging the family in that, but we're really focusing on child's readiness for school success. And what we also want to do is to focus on getting students reading by the third grade, because there's some very compelling evidence that that is a critical, critical factor. We look at three things to be able to do that in our school readiness, and that's about literacy and language development. You may have heard a lot in the news lately about how children of our families have so many more words than children who grow up in poverty, and how that is an indicator of later school success. So we really focus on reading and literacy. The other thing that's an important component in that third grade success is attendance. that you need to be able to go to school to learn and to be able to develop good habits as you go later in going to work and being in the workforce. And we also provide our services for an entire year so we don't have that summer slide. One of the things that I have heard as a statistic, and the sheriff might be able to back this up, is that one of the indicators that our state uses in order to build more prisons is what's the third grade reading level of the folks in our state. So we want to be able to do our part to get kids ready for school and to be successful in life and to get their families engaged. So I really ask you to join us in celebrating October as Head Start Awareness Month. You have a packet in front of you which has my card, has one of these buttons I'd love you to wear that said Head Start Works. And I would invite any and all of you, your cities, your different areas of the county, to please come visit our centers. You have my phone number. Give me a call and to be able to celebrate with our Head Start family. So thank you so much for this opportunity.
Supervisor O'Brien.
Janet, I just wanted to thank you for coming down today, and we can do more working together than we can in our traditional silos. So I'm just thankful and grateful for your presentation today.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Hi, Janet. You had said you have a program of excellence and you were chosen. Is that because you offer more programs, or what got you that?
The process was one in the new Head Start Act, which really looked at school readiness. And you are chosen in your region and goes to the governor, and it is because we have had a program that has consistently shown great outcomes, not had findings in federal reviews, and overall has been one of excellence. As a matter of fact, just this last week in a Hechinger report, because of that program of excellence, that seal of excellence, they're doing a national news story on our migrant program and the opportunities that we provide. So it's a great honor.
Yeah, and your brother said he's very proud of you.
I didn't want to use the brother card, you know. Yes, that's my baby brother.
Yeah, I just thank you for what you're doing. And maybe you said this and I missed it. How many kids do you think a year you're serving in our county, did you say?
In our county, 2,600 children.
Okay.
And we are, Head Start is not such as the schools that if you're age eligible, you come, that we need to serve you. We're funded for X amount of kids, and we have really big waiting list in our county for services.
So you're 2,600, and there is a list of kids that we can't serve because we don't have enough money to.
Exactly.
Do you have any idea how many kids that is? If you're.
Oh goodness! On our waiting list, I would say it's probably in the entire county because we provide direct services for over 500 kids in Stanislaus County Office of Ed, and then we subcontract with different districts, mm-hmm. as well as a nonprofit called Central California Child Development. I would say that we probably have at least 1,000 children on the waiting list, at least.
Just can't be served because there aren't enough.
Right, there aren't enough spots. And especially in our early Head Start, which is expectant parents, true early intervention, and children 0 to 3, we're only serving 322 children. And if First Five has ever come and talked to you about what, you know, how many children we have of that age and the real lack of services that we have, that waiting list is just huge.
Somebody told me at one point, I think there's like every year about 9,000 children going to kindergarten, I guess, kindergarten age. And so I'm sure not all of those need your services, but you know, it sounds like a chunk of them doing a chunk of them aren't getting the attention they should get. This would be great for us to look into this more as we work on our prevention and kind of early intervention and what we're going to try to do this coming year with the county,
mm-hmm.
money that we've allocated the county budget, not just for the county, but try to get other agencies involved to try to have all of those kids served.
Right. And as you were saying, as we can all come together and leverage those funds, because Head Start, you qualify by age and income, and it is at the poverty level. Family of four, is about $19,000 a year. So one of the issues that we start to see in California is as the minimum wage goes up, right? If you have two parents working, which is what we want, then families don't qualify for programs. And we know that in Stanislaus County, you know, unemployment and poverty is still, you know, it's still really an issue where it's going down in the rest of the state. So there's a tremendous need. It talked about that for every dollar that we invest in Head Start, we save 7 to 9 because, you know, people are not in special ed as much, they're not incarcerated, they graduate. So truly, of course, I'm a little biased, is that I do believe that it really is an investment in our county and in our citizens.
Great, thank you.
Me and Jenna, I'd like to present you with the board resolution.
Okay.
Come on up here. Okay, we have a nice board resolution I'd like to present to you, and it's a little bit of detail about some of the statistics that you gave us and the 2,600 children that you do serve. There, I take the special attention to the $7 to $9 that you save for every dollar invested as being kind of a fiscal conservative that caught my eye.
Mm-hmm.
So, it sounds like you've put a little bit of dent in the what the sheriff would have to be doing if you get these kids into school and keep them out of juvenile hall and out of jail. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, thank you so much.
Do you bring any staff with you today?
No, they're at, we have other meetings, and I think my boss is watching the game, so, you know, he's not here to support me, so I don't know. But they said they'd take a picture of this. Your staff.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for what you've done. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Okay, work. Yeah. Nice to meet you. Don't hold my brother again. Okay? Yeah, I promise. Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Okay, we have one more presentation on the North County Corridor Expressway. Mr. Machado.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Mr. Eisen, Mr. Doring. Thank you for allowing us to be here this evening. My name is Matt Machado. I'm the Director of Public Works. But this evening, I'm also in a different role. I'm the North County Corridor Joint Power Authority Manager. And with me this evening are two gentlemen that are going to give a presentation on this project. First is Colt Essenwine. He's our Deputy Director of in Public Works. He's also our project manager for the Joint Powers Authority. And Matt Sautow, he's our consultant for the effort. The effort is the North County Corridor. It's the, we call it the PA&ED phase. That's project approval and environmental documentation. It's primarily an environmental document that we're developing to determine a very precise alignment for the North County Corridor. So with that, I'm going to turn it to these gentlemen, and they're going to provide some background, some status, and then also a little bit about a new feature that we offered today to provide some additional outreach. So with that, I'll turn it to them, and we'll let them keep a brief presentation for you this evening.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. I won't be sharing any giant scores with you. Like many others, I recorded at home, was looking forward to watching it fresh, so no score updates for me. But and I have been told to keep this brief, so I will do my best to do that. Tonight, really want to share with you, it's an exciting time to be here, and I'm actually very pleased to be here to share this with you personally. I think we've reached a key milestone in the project, and so I will talk about that, but before I do that, I'll just talk really briefly about the project, some of the history of the project, before I get into the current activities that we conducted in 2014. So, as many of you know, I mean, the problem that we're trying to solve with the North County Corridor Project, we have an existing State Route 108 that goes through the downtown corridors of Riverbank and Oakdale. This creates a high percentage, a mixture of heavy truck traffic and local commute traffic as well. That all really contributes into, you know, one of the key points of this project is the accident rate through this section is about 35% higher than the state average. And then, of course, you have some at-grade railroad crossings, which again, contribute to the overall congestion through this corridor. So some of the benefits of the North County Corridor, what we're trying to do is, again, really try to improve that interregional travel, provide a better way to get east-west through northern Stanislaus County. Also want to improve the goods movement through this area and accommodate that projected future growth through this segment. And as I mentioned before, one of the keys to this project is really improving safety through this corridor. I'm not going to read through all these, but really the key points you want to make sure we, back in 2008 when we completed, or when the feasibility study was completed and the programming document through Caltrans was completed, that's what really triggered the formation of the Joint Power Authority. The Joint Power Authority is here to deliver what Mr. Machado said is the PAED, the Project Approval and Environmental Documentation Phase, which is what we're doing right now. Another key point there is in 2010, the California Transportation Commission approved the route adoption, which essentially said that there's a wide swath area, that this is going to be the area where the new State Route 108 is going to go, and that's certainly within the area that we've been studying for this project. I'm not going to go through this. I'm really just trying to show you, you know, this is back in 2010, and this is just a normal transportation project progression. You go from many different alternatives, lines drawn on the paper. At this point, I think there were 18 different alternatives. Big, thick colored lines on the paper. And as you start learning more about the project, as you start talking to folks, holding public meetings, getting feedback, you're able to start refining these and screening these alternatives down to something more manageable. And so later on, we had this. And then as we had more public meetings, you know, this is just some of the sample of the more common feedback that came back at the public meetings. One was there was not strong support for the Hammett Road alternative, interchange alternative. Most of the folks really wanted you to use the State Route 219, the Kiernan route. They also said they need some additional work at the eastern end where we tie into Oakdale, State Route 120. They want some additional work done there to figure out how that's going to tie in. Those three alternatives, they weren't entirely happy with those. As many of you know, I mean, the agriculture is the lifeblood of Stanislaus County and its region. And so there's strong sentiment from the public that whatever we do out here, really try to minimize the footprint of this project to the greatest extent and really preserve farmland to the greatest extent possible. And then a common question came up is a freeway really needed for this entire segment? Because what was originally shown was the entire project, which would be a freeway with interchanges at every intersection along the way. This is somewhat where we are today. We've again started to refine that. We have a lot more detail to this now. As we studied the traffic a little more, as we had these public meetings, took that feedback and incorporated that into the plans, you have what you see right there now, where the project actually is on the Kiernan route, but with the existing improvements that Caltrans is conducting on Kiernan right now, widening the road, we found that we don't have to take the project all the way from 99 all the way to Oakdale. We can take it from Tully to Oakdale. And again, do we need a freeway for this entire segment? No. As you get past Roselle and you head east towards Oakdale, it becomes more of a traditional expressway where you have at-grades, either signalized intersections or potentially roundabouts as a way to control those. But we don't need full interchanges at this time to accommodate the year that we're trying to accommodate, which is the year 2042, is the year that we're trying to accommodate with this traffic. So in 2014, many of you may have seen us out there. We've had a lot of folks out there in safety vests conducting the various environmental and engineering studies. I'm pleased to say we had a very successful year out there. We were able to complete our field studies. We were able to produce those reports. And we've submitted all the technical and engineering reports to Caltrans at this point. And many of those are approved or either in their final review round. The key to that is because they've gone through that first round of review, we have comments back, we were able to produce what we call the administrative draft environmental document. That essentially is very close to what the public is going to see next spring. We submitted that to Caltrans last week. It goes through a very rigorous review process at Caltrans. It takes approximately 4 to 5 months to make it through that process. It goes through various quality checks. It goes through a legal review to ensure that we've complied with the California and national environmental laws. And it goes through this whole process. And what it culminates in the end is probably around, we're hoping by April, May of next year, that Caltrans will be finished with this process. And we'll be releasing this to the public in April, May timeframe next year. That's really a key milestone at this point. to have produced a document and gotten it into the quality control process. So we're pretty excited about that. And I think we're on schedule at this point to deliver, as we've said, deliver that draft document to the public next spring. So I know this is really small, but really, again, this is just where we are in the process right now. We have completed all the engineering and environmental studies there in blue. We're right at that phase where the draft documents, it's going through that process at Caltrans, which is going to culminate. The key milestones that I want this board to be aware of is that in 2015, in the spring, we're going to release that document to the public. In the summer, we're going to have a public hearing about a month, month and a half after we release the document. But also during the summer, we're going to be going to each of the jurisdictions. We're going to be going to Riverbank, Oakdale, Modesto, and Stanislaus County. And we're going to be asking each jurisdiction if they have a preference on which alignment they prefer. We're hoping that if we have consensus on an alignment at that time, that we will declare, in the final environmental document, we will declare a locally preferred alternative. Now, that doesn't have any weight other than Caltrans. We'll certainly take that into account when making the final decision on a route. If we have consensus among the locals on a locally preferred alternative, that will weigh heavily with them. That's going to take us into years 2016, late 2016 through 2018. We'll be in design and right-of-way phase with the hopes of sometime in late 2019 of putting a shovel in the ground for this project. So far, I'd say for the last year, we've pressed very hard. I believe we're on schedule to deliver. About a year ago today, we were in front of this board with this project, and I think we're on schedule that we promised. So with that, I think Colt is going to give a demonstration of one of the tools that we've been using to help communicate with folks of the project and how folks can look at how the individual impacts of this project are going to have on their particular property.
Thank you, Matt, for the wonderful review of the history of the project. I want to show quickly to the board and to the public present a tool that we've been using in public works, for the JPA anyway, to share out the information that we do show with the public and with our public meetings, et cetera. This is the public works website on the Stan County website. So this is the public works department, stancounty.com/public works. And on the left side, you'll see North County Corridor, and there's a menu there and many items on here. Agenda and minutes from the JPA, the alternative maps, these are as of July 17, authority manager updates. The March 6th public meeting right here, so you click that, and all the documentation, all the boards, storyboards that we showed at that meeting are all there. The comments were given there. We received somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 to 50 comments. The response to those comments from that meeting are right there on the website for all the public to see, and so you can access it there. I'm not going to do it here tonight. And then we have the NCC Geographical Information Systems a link, which is what I want to show you now, because GIS for Stanislaus County has been a very important tool, and we've expanded that use earlier this year to add our corridor projects. And so if you look up here, in fact, you'll see that there's another project, the 132 project, on here as well. But I'm going to talk about North County Corridor. So this map is similar to what Matt showed you earlier. These are the actual shape files from the AutoCAD, the CAD design that's being done. And if you zoom in close enough, you can see detail all the way down to the number of through lanes, the number of turn lanes, interchanges, structures, everything. So if you zoom in close enough, and hopefully the network will pick this up quickly, and there you go. And you can see the through lanes. So you can see off-ramps, on-ramps. You can see impacts. This orange line and the purple-bluish line here, these are right-of-way lines. And so these are where we anticipate the worst-case scenario is going to be for this project. The orange line is right-of-way for the North County Corridor, and these bluer lines, these are for the local access roads, roads that we need to create or widen or improve as a result of North County Corridor severing existing access for local parcels. So all this information is here on the website and readily available. You can search by address, parcel number, intersections. So if you as a policy or decision maker were getting a call from a constituent saying, hey, I don't like what's happening here, you can easily type in the address of that property owner, and it'll come right up. In fact, I don't have it knowing off the top of my head, but
intersection maybe.
Let's go to McHenry, because here is an intersection that's going to have huge impacts, and this definitely affects the county. So if you're familiar with the McHenry intersection, I'm going to go ahead and use this tool up here and throw up the imagery, and you'll see what's this, Damasceno Steel. And this is a steel plant that's been around since, I believe, the 1950s. And they're greatly impacted by this North County corridor, this interchange here. So if you were to type in their address, which I don't have, it would have popped up this parcel, and you would have seen that right here. Other tools that are available, you can take and turn off certain options, certain alignments, if you only want to see what the impacts of, there's all these alternatives are very good. I'm not picking one in particular because I like it or because somebody else likes it. It just happens to be the top of the list. So you'll see that everything else, and let me turn off the imagery so that it's faster. You'll see that everything else here is now shut off. All the other alternatives are off. So you can see what the impacts of just 1A are. And then also some tools for measuring distance and area. That's it for my presentation on the GIS. It shows what's available to you and the public today from our website. And we'll entertain any questions that the board may have.
Any questions from the board?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the presentation tonight. Just want to bring a couple of topics up, and one is the real reason that this road doesn't go all the way to 99 anymore is because of lack of funding. We didn't have enough funding to continue studying two different route alignments, and so we chose to shrink the footprint on a non-unanimous vote to shrink the footprint of the project, which brings down the useful life or the projected life of this road to a 20-year time frame when we were originally looking at a 30 or 40-year time frame. If you look at any major city in the Central Valley, everybody's got a crosstown freeway to move goods and services in a safe, effective manner, whether it's Sacramento, whether it's Stockton, whether it's Fresno, Bakersfield. And as we pursued to do that, we just couldn't find the political willpower to get it done. And that's where it basically comes down to. Is it still needed what we have presented? Yes, it's still needed. It's just not the ultimate planning tool that it could have been. Still very much in favor of moving forward North County Corridor, just understanding that it's just not everything it could have been.
Okay, Supervisor Lippra.
Just to add on a little bit to what Bill has said there, and Bill has been involved in this a lot longer than I have. I've just been here the last 4 years, but the one thing that I have been impressed with is how much public input has affected this thing. From where it originally started, we listened. Everybody's listening to what the public, and we've had meetings here. We have separate North County Corridor meetings, and we have times when we fill the room up pretty good. And then, of course, like you said, we've had meetings out in the community. And it really has made a difference. The input we've had from the public, it really does affect change on how this project has moved forward. So that has been very impressive, I thought, in the short time I've been involved with this. And like Bill said, it's not always everything we want. We're not getting everything we want, but it is moving forward. It's a good project. And thank you guys for what you're doing.
Any other questions? Okay. Good presentation.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we will now move to a public comment period. Now, these are comments to this board that are items that are not on the agenda. If you have something you want to talk about that is on the agenda, you'll have to wait until that item comes up. We limit public comment to 5 minutes per person. I have three requests to speak. The first one will be Phil McKay.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Phil McKay. I'm with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. I'm here to talk about the Tuolumne River on the south side of the river. The land along the south side of the river from Dry Creek to, which is around Gallo, down to downstream of Highway 99, maybe a little downstream of that, is kind of a mixture of residential, light industrial businesses, some state, county, and even city property. For many years, there's been that these properties have been subjected to homeless encampments that have moved in to the River Corridor area. As they moved in, there's always been the inevitable increase in vandalism, different types of theft and crime, lots of fires, and inevitably the property itself is degraded through litter and debris and the graffiti. Once these folks move on, and eventually they will move on, they usually leave their debris and litter for public agencies or volunteer groups to clean up. If it's not cleaned up, then most of that debris or litter ends up in the river when the waters come up, and hopefully eventually they will come up with a little rain. Fortunately for this area, we've got some help from the Sheriff's Department, and we've also got some help from a number of volunteer groups, the Tuolumne River Trust, the Dry Creek Coalition, and the 9-2-99 volunteer group. And that group, those groups have helped to come in, and they're trying to make a difference. They're trying to pick up things and improve the overall community along the river. So, unfortunately for these groups is that they never seem to have enough help. So my goal today is just to stop by and say hello and to maybe invite the general public and maybe even members of the board, if you're interested in that sort of thing, to come down. They're going to do cleanups. They got two more scheduled this year. One is scheduled for November 15th at 9 o'clock on the south side of the river. And if anybody wants to come down, I'm sure it's going to be a benefit to the community and a very important community project. Thank you.
Do you know when those cleanups are scheduled?
The first one's scheduled for November 15th, next month. And then they'll have another one around Highway 99 in December. And these are only 2-3 hour cleanups, but they make a huge difference. And they remove, the Sheriff's Department provides a dumpster, and they fill it up every time. So they make a huge difference in making a community improvement along the river. And it does help the water quality, too. Hopefully we'll have some salmon coming up this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McKay. Vernon Lee Price.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Risen, County Council, gentlemen of the board, Madam Clerk, ladies and gentlemen of San Isidro County. My name is Vernon Price. I'm a homeless advocate. I'm here to speak on two issues tonight. One of them is a very sensitive issue that deals with HHS here in the county with vouchers to a motel on McHenry Avenue that I'm making a request to cease and desist and be given to another motel. I was given a 3-day voucher to the Tiki Motel. As experience of a consumer, there was probation and parole switches there, actually drugs being dealt out of the office. Of course, we're going to have that in all areas of life these days and times. But to those that are consumers, that is not conducive to a recovery, that is not conducive to a better life, that are consumers of these vouchers. I'm asking politely for consideration tonight that that be moved to a different motel that's further up McHenry that is overcoming the reputation of itself, but it's not overcoming a reputation on its own. There was a lady that was there the last night that's been living there for 18 months, I believe, at the best, America's Best Inn used to be the Vagabond Inn. I've been doing some work there, volunteering, meeting the consumers there. I was at a church event last night at what they call Monday Feed. She lost her son, 33-year-old son, became non-responsive at MJC yesterday afternoon, was pronounced DRA at Doctors Medical Center. In this case, go get happy. And that's my nickname there at the Vagabond. And I was found at the Monday night feed at Crossroads Church. Went to her side, and she has another son that deals with autism. And it was a very special moment that I was able to contribute time in a time of bereavement, and that someone would trust that. So there's a motel that does have a history. Here's a man that has a history. I never claimed to be a saint. I'm a man with many character flaws and defects. But two people with two pasts, they can work together and put their hand to the plow for something positive. There's a manager there, Frank, myself, and the owner, is really working diligently to try and get some volunteer hours of those that have been mental health first aid certified, a peer-to-peer certified, such as myself, and other consumers that have reached outside of the hurts, habits, hang-ups, and addictions, to be peer support there and say that there are community services that you can plug into while you're here on these vouchers to improve the quality of your life and be conducive to recovery. Not just a recovery of alcoholism and narcotics, but recovery of a better life. So I beseech this board to reconsider those vouchers. Send a secret shopper in to sometimes where you send people. Just to check up, make sure that things are on the level. Because I can guarantee you tonight to pass a polygraph or vital parts of my human anatomy tonight that motel that you are sending people to, called the Tiki Motel, is very non-conducive. Another thing I'd like to approach tonight is a volunteer that works with BHRS as a street outreach worker. The gentleman that I'm speaking of is Frank Flew. Needs to be reconsidered, or at least special trained. When he sends three homeless people out to pass out flyers for a solar event in front of a motel prominent downtown while they're having an event, us not knowing that there's other solar people there, now we're poaching. That's sending three homeless people into a situation that now is a legal situation. Knowing that that is private property or public property, and we can make a stand on First Amendment rights, but yet, we do have a moral opportunity and a calling to do what's right, to move on because there are another store people there. And when this outreach worker walks into Trail Disability Resource for Independent Living and asks a gentleman that he doesn't even know that's homeless, what is your disability? I ask you to beseechly reconsider that. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer those. Thank you so much for your time and your consideration.
Vance Kennedy.
Good evening, members of the board. In a recent public meeting, Walter Ward was criticized for not doing his job. He does not deserve it. You do. It is obvious that we need a lot more information on our water resources than we have now, especially on groundwater. There's a lot of data out there which needs to be accumulated and interpreted. It is not one man only job. You've tried to do it on the cheap by appointing a well-intentioned group, each of which has its own private interests, but most skilled in pulling together the available information for you. You have also tried to avoid lawsuits, a commendable desire. However, when private individuals use public resources, such as groundwater, at the expense of other parties, you should have stopped it. You did not, and are dealing with the bad results. A lawsuit is inevitable when you try to right what has happened. You need to authorize several hundred thousand of dollars immediately to aid Ward in the acquiring the data on water table elevations, pumping rates, and other data needed for informed action, and for court defense. That amounts to less than a dollar per person in the county to address a problem potentially devastating to society as a whole. You must act now or not delay any longer. Past inaction is inexcusable. you must do better. The state has recently passed laws requiring sustainability of water use, but over an unreasonably long time period. The sustainability of groundwater in the foothills is, on the face of it, not possible, given the wells already authorized. There is groundwater recharge of perhaps 6 inches per year, and groundwater is being pumped at several feet per year. It is an ongoing environmental disaster. It should be stopped now, and you have the power to do that. You must protect the general public. That foothills groundwater is thousands of years old and cannot be replaced in less than centuries to millennia. Australia recently went through a 10-year drought. It could happen here also. That groundwater in the foothills could serve as a valley lifesaver if not cleared away, as is being done now. The obvious answer is to stop groundwater pumping in the foothills, not just halting well permits, until you have a needed understanding of the situation. You have permitted a disaster. Now please move to forestall all further damage. I believe you are partially responsible for wells going dry on the foothills by your inaction. Please face up to that. A rancher's house and land are valueless with no well water at reasonable depth. Think about it. That is my view. You have a second highly qualified geologist with hydrologic understanding on your staff. Ask for his views. Also, more of the public should speak out. The sooner the better. Any comments?
Any questions? Okay, thank you for your comments, Mr. Kennedy. Okay, those are the only speaker cards that I have. Is there anybody else from the audience who wishes to address this board on a non-agenda item? Okay, seeing none, we will go to the consent calendar. Is any member of this board wish to pull an item from the consent calendar? Is any member of the audience wish to pull an item from the consent calendar? Okay. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I will second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. We approve the consent calendar. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion's carried 5-0. We have no scheduled matters tonight. We will now move to correspondence.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports? Seeing none. Legislative and Fiscal Management Report, Mr. Reiser.
No report this evening.
Okay. Enough with the business, this meeting stands adjourned.
Yeah. We are almost done.